How's that going to work, Tom?
Well, there are some changes that high school students will see as they enter the school. The biggest change is the fact that the difference in student population, it'll be approximately half of the population in the school at any given time. The other significant change is the fact that students will have to wear masks at all times while in the school. Teachers will have to wear masks and face shields. And the classrooms will have only every second seat really occupied. There will be desks that will be marked as or put there as barriers in between the seating that students will be allowed to sit in. So there'll be a desk in between two that students will sit in and act as a barrier.
One of the issues, Tony Stack, that was raised prior to all of this is that high school students are not in cohorts. Are you exercising similar kinds of plans as that to the younger grades, or are you taking special measures to address those kinds of scenarios for high school students?
So we've had lengthy engagement with the Chief Medical Officer of Health, and the guidance from the Chief Medical Officer is such that we can have 50% of the entire school population in at any given time. So that thus the alternating days for attendance. And we're following that public health guidance to allow students to get back to their classroom safely. And we're very pleased that on this day that we have in-school learning happening again for some 13, almost 14,000 high school students who have been availing solely of online to this point before Easter.
Arguably, high school are some of the most important years in a child's educational history. Tom, what sort of considerations went into reopening schools for high school students?
We saw students that excelled with online education. Some students held their own, but there were also students that struggled with online education. So in addition to the emotional or mental health implications, we saw the academic implications as well. We saw an increase in absenteeism, but we also noticed that there were students that were logged into the class and then would be distracted either, you know, by what was happening at home or maybe video games or whatever the case may be. But there were students that were logged in but not tuned in, we'll say.
Tony Stack, how do you capture those students now, bring them back in, and get them engaged?
Well, and that's key, obviously. We're very concerned for any students that may have dropped off in terms of their... They may have been in attendance but not attending as much as they should. So that is a concern that we hope to address. Right from the beginning, the district has stressed the need to maximize in-class instruction for students, both for their academic benefit as well as their social, emotional, and learning and mental well-being, as the minister has alluded to. So, you know, since mid-March, some high schools, students have been able to attend in-class instruction full-time, where new public health guidelines could be met. But, you know, these 14,000 students that were in our larger high schools, that wasn't possible. So being able to bring them back for some in-school learning is great. It's important to note that the online instruction that is happening now is not the same. This is an enhanced scenario too. It's not a new plan, really. It's not even a totally new scenario too. It's an improved or enhanced scenario too, because now we are including a virtual component, which allows for a level of interaction between teachers and students, even on those days when half the students are not physically in class. So with that contact, with that interpersonal relationship, that is also important with the teacher, that ability to be in school will have the impact of having students in a scenario where they're going to be benefiting by being face-to-face with the teacher, albeit for the 50% period.
Tom Osborne, once the students return, albeit on a rotational basis, I suppose, or a blended model, will you be monitoring it to see if there's tweaks that can be made to this new system?
Absolutely. And, you know, we said when the school year started in September, for example, that you know, we could expect to see bumps in the road because things were happening differently than they did in previous school years. So, you know, I'll make the same statement today that, you know, this is new. We've evolved based on the evolving pandemic and evolving guidelines by the Chief Medical Officer of Health. So as we're entering into a new phase of education with the blended model, we ask parents and educators and students to have some patience. If we see that there are bumps in the road, we'll address those and deal with them and fix them. But I fully anticipate as we're trying something new that, we hope it goes very smooth. But, you know, if there are issues, we'll deal with them. I do want to say that, anytime there's change, there's always a sense of anxiety. And we understand that. And we want to certainly thank educators for their participation and their involvement and what they're doing for students. They've always put students first. They've always maintained that professional integrity. And, in a year of many changes, that's certainly been the case.
Gentlemen, thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, my pleasure indeed. Thank you.